Hello, everybody, and welcome to Roots of the Money Tree podcast. My name is Colby Gilmore, and I have my dear friend, my good friend, Ryan Anderson over here. Many people call him the financial guru of the Southwest. Others call him the Houston how-to, because he'll definitely lead you into how to make good money decisions. Anyways, I'm a financial planner.
Yeah.
Howdy, y'all. There's the howdy. I'm a financial planner. I've worked in it for a lot of years, but I just have a passion for helping shepherd people around how to make wise financial decisions. And Ryan has that same heart. So Ryan, care to give us a little background and why you're howdying at us?
Yeah. Well, we both work together at the same company. And what we do is we help people make wise decisions with their money, with the end goal of helping bring some clarity to their financial situation and really to help give money away and be generous. And so in that job, we obviously get a lot of questions, and we got a lot of questions that come up again and again and again. And so Colby and I love those conversations. We love answering those questions, but we realize there's only so many people that we can talk to in a given day. And so we wanted to expand that a little bit. And we had the idea of starting this podcast. And we wanted to go a little bit deeper than the surface level money questions of, should I invest in this? Should I pay off this debt? Should I give this much in this way? Trying to get away from the strategy questions. And we're trying to dig a little bit deeper than that and go into what really shapes somebody's behavior with money, what shapes their perspective, what shapes the way that they do things. And so a lot of the times we find that going deeper to that next level really provides some clarity for all the other questions that people have about money. And so when we were talking about what we wanted to do, you, Colby, had the great idea of making the analogy of a tree, a money tree. And so why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's really always birthed out of what you just said, Ryan, that we all want these how-to moments of just tell me what to do. And we think transactionally, but we don't think deeper. There's so much that's going under that surface rather than just this, you know, what's going out outside of it, the appearance base. So that's where this idea of roots of the money tree came about. Really, it's thinking about a money tree. It didn't come to me creatively or with great creativity. It was the fact that there's a money tree behind my workstation. So I just kind of flew with it. But it was this idea of, right, we have a money tree. We're all kind of growing our own, and it's what we want to make of it. Now, most of it is what you see on the outside. That's the leaves. That's the green of it. But we don't understand there's so much going on underneath the soil. And that's our roots, right? And that's coming down to really understanding our own biography of our life. We're going to focus more around money decisions, but it's everything that influences it, right? Because inside of your roots, you have development into these kind of core convictions or your own principles. And those are birthed out of, you know, if we actually know what those are, or if we don't even know what those are. Throughout your whole life, you're developing those roots from, you know, the things that you experience growing up. You know, think about your first money decision, think about how your parents handled money, or maybe friends or friends' parents or pastors, whatever it may be, influences your life. Well, those things naturally already made an effect on you growing up and probably developed some firm convictions. However, most of us probably don't even know those convictions. So it's really understanding that, but then also going, okay, well, maybe my behaviors, which if I led that from the bottom up, you know, you got your roots, which is going to be your principles and convictions. And those are firm foundations, right? But those are what influence your beliefs. And the beliefs kind of when you sprout right above the surface. And that's, you know, typically you just go, oh, this is what I believe. But if you really believe what you believe is true, that's your firm conviction, right? But then from your belief, then it sprouts out and you start having these leaves, and that's your actions and your behaviors. And that's really the end result, right? So often we might preach one belief and our actions might be completely different. And that's often because our roots are somewhere completely, either strangled or we don't even understand them. So that's really this whole context that is, as we make decisions through life and where we want to get to with that end result and behavior is, well, let's go back to the beginning. Let's see what's going on under there. Let's see that soil that's influencing those roots. And that's when at the end you make better decisions and you start having some more confidence because you actually know who you are, you know these convictions, and then they're not uprooted every time you have to make a decision, which is on the transactional level.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. And one of the big things we're trying to help with is, like Colby said, we're trying to help you understand where you've been with your money story and where you're going. And both of those have a huge effect on the behavior and the decisions that we make today. So just a couple examples. We talk about money story a lot in our work, and that's just thinking through every single thing that's happened to you related to money, but especially those things that happened to you when you were younger, when you were just growing up. So as an example of that, one of the ladies that I've had the pleasure of working with in the past has really had a hard time saving. And just no matter what we tried to, how we tried to help her, it just wouldn't work. And so it wasn't until we started to dig into her money story that we really understood what was happening. And so when she turned 16 and she was able to get a job, her mom said, "Hey, I'm going to take all this money that you're making and I'm going to save it so you don't spend it. And I'm going to put it in a college account for you." And that made sense to her. And so she said, "Great. Well, let me just keep on doing this. And then when I turn 18, I'll have a lot of money in the bank for college." And so she worked for years. And then when she turned 18, she came to her mom and said, "I'm ready to go to college. Where's the money?" And her mom said, "Yeah, I actually spent that." And so all those years of hard work and saving that she had done, it came to nothing. And so in her mind, whether consciously or unconsciously, that was something in her mind that said, there's no point in saving because it's just going to go away. And so it's really understanding your history and how those effects or how those experiences affect you now. So it's knowing where you've been and also where you're going. It's a lot easier to make decisions in the context of a long-term plan rather than just what do I feel like doing today? If you have a vision of where you're going, then again, it makes it a lot easier to make sacrifices, make the right decision in the moment, just so you know what's behind that, what's the reason behind that decision that you're making. So
that's a great story there, Ryan. You care if I put you on the spot and just ask you like a couple questions in that context of one, do you remember one of your first money decisions or influences? Has it impacted your journey so far?
Yeah. So my money story really started with my parents kind of just doing the classic envelope system. Here's a saving envelope, here's a giving envelope, and here is a spending envelope. And so that really shaped me. But one of the biggest things that happened in my life was my family, we lived overseas growing up and we moved to Houston when I was a freshman in high school. My dad's company sent us to Houston. And that company, 1 month later, fell apart, and that company was Enron. And so we moved to Houston and started enjoying our new life. And then my dad lost his job a month later. And he had a hard time getting a job again, and just with the name Enron on his resume. And so I think that had a pretty big effect on my life, both in a positive way and a negative way. So it made me want to work really hard and be able to be self-sufficient as quickly as possible. So that would never happen to me. So it was a good thing, but it was also a bad thing because it put my focus on relying on self and working really hard. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. So both of so it had a positive and a negative effect. And it wasn't until I started peeling back the layers, trying to understand why do I have to save this much? Or especially when I got married, my wife and I talking about how much we were going to save, and it was just a huge percentage of what we were saving, of what we made. And we had the conversation of why are we doing this? And it was really just kind of my insecurity almost of not wanting that to happen to me. So that's been a big part of my money story, and understanding that has led to a lot of changes. What about you?
Sounds like you really know your root system there.
What about you? Do you have any examples?
Yeah. Mine goes, I mean, probably I'd say my first memory of money is I loved as a kid money. I loved, which we didn't have a lot of money around. So I would just take money, put it on the printer, and I would print tons of copies of money. And then I'd fill up tons and tons. I wasted so much paper, and it was... My family has a family business, and there was an office. So I would just sneak in there and print money all day. And I'd start packaging up these big suitcases full of money, hundreds and 20s. And you know, that was me feeling rich. obviously that was fake. And, you know, I'm sure if an IRS agent walked in, they would have thought we were doing some kind of different business. But that was really that. I'd say my first real money decision was I wanted to buy an iPod. It was an iPod mini, a little blue one. Those things are so, I mean, thicker than my phone is nowadays. So I started working a job for my grandpa working on a farm, and my whole why, right? Not a great why, was make enough money to buy the iPod.
Sure.
What I learned pretty quickly was, I think 3 weeks in, I had enough, maybe it's four, to purchase it. So I went to Best Buy, made the purchase, almost instantly felt, remorse for the decision, right? It was that almost instant. Like, I think I listened to it for 1 day and I was like, wow, I just spent so much money that I had just worked 4 weeks for on this item that made me happy for a short bit and no longer did. And it really, it influenced me a couple of ways. Of one, trying to think through decisions when I make a major purchase or any purchase, because I liked very much working and reaping the rewards of getting a paycheck as a young kid. I think I was 12. But then I really liked holding on to it. And I like when you said that, like, security aspect, it was really a security. This was my first chance to hold on to something myself. We weren't raised where my parents gave us like allowances or anything like that. They just provided. So that was my first attempt to have security. And it was definitely something that I'd say until maybe I started dating my wife or got married, that I started to hold it a little bit looser, where I was afraid to spend anything. I was a penny pincher. Other jobs when I'd work, you know, I'd have a paycheck and I'd try to get my aunt or whoever I was with to buy me in and out or buy me a meal rather than paying it myself, because I want to just hold on to that.
Right.
And I think a little bit was just influence from probably my mom and parents, where they were very much savers, at least my mom was, and always kind of gave us this sense of, which we didn't know their finances, but a sense of, hey, we don't have very much. And still don't know if that was true or not. We had a pretty rich life of a lot of great, you know, family events, but it was very much, I thought, okay, yeah, well, we got to really hold on to this. And I think learning later on in college, I took a faith and money class and just understanding all these principles about what the Bible has to say about money. And it really struck me, because I always thought, I was like, I want to be rich, I want to be a millionaire. But then all of a sudden I started thinking, wow, the Bible has a ton of stuff to say about contentment and money decisions.
Yeah.
And, it all kind of clicked for me there. And I started going, wow, okay, there's a lot more I can do with this. It's a tool, right? It's a tool to influence others to make good decisions. And then I started realizing, hey, you know what? It's kind of like you're saying with your wife, why are we saving all this money? I started realizing, yeah, why am I just holding on to this when we could spend this on some social interactions and some dates and enjoy it? And it really was something that I didn't think about until I had a mentor mention that, and like, hey, you got to build in date night into your budget, right? That's an investment in your marriage. And it wasn't that I wasn't investing in marriage, but I started going, that's great. I should be happy about this. Not,
yeah,
oh, man, I'm getting the salad because I don't want to spend.
That's a great one.
But that's really, it was really that class that turned me around, going, I need to know some firm convictions about what I want from my money, what I want to do with it. And then at the end, it made me feel more at peace with my decisions, rather than feeling guilty for spending $50 on a jacket. Was, I actually know what my why is around this money, and I can make better decisions that way. So,
yeah,
but it's a learning process, I'd say, right? I still am learning convictions. I'm testing my convictions all the time. And that's a healthy thing, which we're not the experts, right? But we get to make decisions on this journey.
That's right. Yeah. And I think both those examples that you gave are so good, because, and they show that it's really your motivation that matters, because saving can be great. It could be it could actually be a bad thing if you're saving too much and it's hurting other relationships in your life. And spending can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing. It all really just depends on your motivations and why you're doing it. So that totally makes sense to me.
So Ryan, what are we doing with this series here?
Yeah. So again, Colby and I, we're just trying to put something together. So we've never done this before. And so we were thinking, well, what would we want this to look like? And so we don't know how long we're going to do this, how many episodes we're going to do, but we know we want to do at least 10 episodes, just to help. If somebody came and asked us, what are the most important things that we should know about money? So we're trying to do that in a 10 episode series, and we're calling it our Knowing series. So we're going to talk about knowing why you're doing what, knowing why you're doing what you're doing with your money, knowing where you are, where, what your goals are, where you're going, how to get where you want to go, where to put your focus. And then also really important of what to tune out. So there's a lot of, a lot of marketing that we get. There's a lot of information that we get, a lot of advice that we get that it just frankly isn't very good. So we need to know what to tune out, how to relate to each other on, how to relate to other people on money. So your spouses, your friends, your faith community, your the people you work with. And it's also important to know when you're there. So how do I know when I've gotten to the place that I want to be, where my why has been achieved? And so what do you do next after that? And then we'll also touch on how to leave it behind. And the last thing we want to talk on is what are the biggest barriers to people being successful with money? And so that's going to be the capper to our series. So that's our general goal. That's our general plan for what we're going to cover in this first 10 episodes. And then we'll kind of see where it goes from there.
That's great. I guess if I put it to a nice analogy that I've learned from an advisor I've got to work with is we're going on a road trip, right? And we're leaving from California. We're headed to upstate New York. But there's a couple things we want to do along the way, right? We want to make sure we don't get to New York and we have half a tank left and we missed out on all those sites that we could have saw along the way, all the people we could have met and the fun we could have had. But then the second thing is we also don't want to make a wrong turn in Albuquerque and run out of gas and never make it, right? So that's the know series is this is our financial road trip and we want to make it help you along the way, make the right decision so you can get to the end and go, that was a life well spent.
Mm, so good. And that's really, again, what we're going for is helping people to live a life well spent. No regrets, no wishing they had done something else. So that's what we're doing. And then we're excited about it. Colby, I'm excited about doing this with you. And
I'm excited about doing this with you, Ryan. When anyone else.
All right. Well, we will check you back on episode 1, Knowing Why. Talk to you soon.